Yeah, people.
Yasarvantrani Vishnehas Tattad Prapya Subhashubham Nabinandati Nadveshti Tasya Pragya Pratishtita.
In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There is always some upheaval in the material world, which may be good or evil. One who is not agitated by such material upheavals, who is unaffected by good and evil, is to be understood to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one is in the material world, there is always the possibility of good and evil, because this world is full of duality. But one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness is not affected by good and evil, because he is simply concerned with Krishna, who is all good absolute. Such consciousness in Krishna situates one in a perfect transcendental position called technically samadhi. Hare Krishna.
Right in afternoon, please. Yeah.
Today we have been blessed by the association of very exalted, dedicated servants of Srila Prabhupada from various parts of the earth. First of all, we have our very dear, beloved friend, Vaidyanath Prabhu, who was here last year. He is one of the foundations of the wonderful preaching activities of Krishna consciousness in Russia. He is, in fact, GBC for Russia. And we explained last time how many difficulties he underwent in his pursuit to be Krishna conscious. In fact, this verse that we're reading today is very much illustrated by our dear Vaidyanath Prabhu. Even in the face of the greatest difficulties, his determination only increased. He was a PhD scientist from the university. When he started taking Krishna consciousness seriously in his life, the then communist regime of the Soviet Union was very much disturbed. They considered the Hare Krishna movement one of the greatest threats to the communist state, because the philosophy of Srila Prabhupada's books was so complete, scientific, and convincing that anyone who would read his books with an open mind would necessarily accept the existence of a supreme God and accept the position of the servant of God. Now, communist nation, their idea was that God only creates disunity, laziness, that people should have their supreme allegiance to the state. Something like that. So when they saw this very educated scientist taking to Krishna consciousness, they sent KGB. You know what is KGB? I don't know exactly what is KGB. But they are very rough types of people. And they brought him to their secret headquarters and harassed him, threatened him so many ways, so many times. And he explained to us that when he first started coming to Hare Krishna movement and associating with devotees and reading Prabhupada's books, he was thinking, this is very interesting, it makes a lot of sense. But after the KGB people harassed him so much, he saw, these people are so afraid of the Hare Krishna movement. They are taking it so seriously that maybe I should also take it very seriously. So KGBs were something like one of his Vartma Pradashaka gurus. They helped him to really take this Krishna consciousness as his life and soul. And how many risks and how many difficulties he has undergone in the past and in the present, it's insurmountable. But yet, he's always so humble and smiling and always eager to serve. And we are so very grateful to him for coming today. Let us... Can you please stand up, Vaidyanath Prabhu? Let us all very gratefully, with tumultuous affection, greet him to Sri Radha Gopinath's temple. We also have Achyuta Prabhu. Achyuta Prabhu is here. Hare Krishna. He is the regional secretary of Ukraine. Has any of you ever heard of Ukraine? Ukraine is also a country that was part of the Soviet Union. He is one of the senior most devotees there, working with our very dear beloved godbrother Niranjan Swami Maharaj. Ukraine is a very poor country in the Western world. A lot of troubles, a lot of poverty. However, under Achyuta Prabhu's inspirational guidance, the Hare Krishna movement is flourishing. He is distributing the supreme wealth of Goloka Vrindavan to that forsaken nation. One of the most dynamic places I have been. Hundreds and hundreds of devotees, beautiful temple they're building. And despite all difficulties that they have to face due to the economy, the various government situations, Achyuta Prabhu is like a great pillar holding up all the devotees' faith and devotion by his own wonderful example. And we're so very grateful that he has come upon our humble invitation. Could you kindly stand up, Achyuta Prabhu? Let us very graciously and loudly welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath. Also two of the devotees who are assisting Vaidyanath Prabhu in Russia, Madan Mohan and Acharya Nidhi Prabhu. Acharya Nidhi Prabhu is in charge of the preaching for the southern part of Russia, and Madan Mohan is in charge of the communications for Russia. And they just, we can speak for a long time about their wonderful service and the challenges that they're constantly having to overcome. Madan Mohan Prabhu, please stand up. Acharya Nidhi Prabhu, please stand up. Let us welcome them to Sri Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Also, there are some devotees from Italy. They are here still. From Prabhupada Desh. Could you stand up, devotees from Italy? Haribo. They are very, very wonderful, sincere, humble devotees. And I believe they're from Prabhupada Desh. Guru Charan Prabhu was just here a few days ago. And they've come to bless us with their kind association. Let us welcome them. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. Material existence is a place of duality. It should be no surprise when there are reversals in our life. We should know that it is the very climate of this place. No matter what we do, no matter who we are, there will be all different varieties of experiences we have to pass through in our life. The laws of karma are so created by the Lord that as ye sow, so shall ye reap. Whatever we do, whatever we say, there will inevitably be a reaction. If we do good, we receive good. If we do bad, we receive bad. It is inescapable. Intelligence means to understand how material nature is working and to act in such a way that we actually benefit. Unintelligent people, they only try to see according to what their senses perceive at the present. If I steal, I will become rich now, if somehow I get away with it. And if you get away with it, you become rich now. But in the future, everything will be stolen away from you, along with so many other reactions, in this life or perhaps in future life. If I step upon another person's head to raise myself up, it may appear that I am a success. Look where I am. However, it is just a matter of time till that same pain that you caused another must come upon you. Shreyas and Prayas. Prayas means whatever immediately gives me what I want, I should achieve it by any means. But Shreyas is human intelligence. To see into the future, to understand the laws of nature, the laws of God. In materialistic society, people will do so much to get some temporary pleasure. But they do not know that if that pleasure incurs sinful activities, such a vast amount of pain will come in the future. Our karma is like a bank account. You invest, and in due course of time, there will be a withdrawal. Hare Krishna. When we take to Krishna consciousness, we are striving with great determination to do everything in such a way that will please Krishna. In fact, we try to relinquish all sinful activities and act for the ultimate benefit of all living beings. However, in this world, even if you live like this, still suffering will come. Still you will have to confront good and evil. There will be opposition. There will be problems on so many levels, physical, mental, obstacles coming that causes so much confusion. That is by the will of the Lord. For a devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either directly or indirectly, arranges material nature in such a way that is most perfect to help us to become purified. And therefore, a devotee of the Lord is equal in both good and evil. In the face of happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, success, or failure, he is not attached to the positive and he is not appalled by the negative. He sees the positive hand of God behind every situation in life. This is Krishna consciousness. Krishna explains in Gita that a devotee is not disturbed in his service despite the temporary appearance and disappearance of the dualities of nature, which come like the winter and summer seasons. A devotee is elevated in every situation. And this is actually how we can be happy. If you think that any way in this world you will be happy by things going your way, you will never be happy. If you see every situation in this world as the mercy of God, and with a grateful heart offer your obeisances to Him, in that gratitude you will find the ultimate happiness. Tathenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmikritam vibhagam. A devotee, even in the most suffering condition of life, with folded hands, offers his obeisances to Krishna. Thank you, my Lord. I deserve so much worse, but you are giving me only this much out of your love for my purification. The more severe the difficulties we're going through, the more we make great spiritual progress if we can reciprocate with Krishna with this consciousness. And Krishna explains here, such a person is firmly fixed in knowledge. Such a person can actually be happy in all circumstances, because such a person is remembering Krishna in everything. Queen Kunti, she prayed for difficulties. She feared the good times in life. We are trying to avoid difficulties. We are always praying and hoping, when will that day be when everything is nice? When I can do my service without obstructions, when everyone loves and appreciates me, when I have all that I need, when the weather is nice and the mosquitoes are not around, my health is very, very strong, then I will be able to really do nice service. But Queen Kunti prayed very different. Let calamities come again and again. Queen Kunti was put through so many tragedies in life, along with her 5 sons. They were fed poison. They were put in a house that was to be burned down. They were being hunted like animals. They were being dishonored and disgraced. They lost their homes. Yet, after Kurukshetra war, when Yudhisthira Maharaj was placed back on the throne of the world, then Queen Kunti became very disturbed. Now everything is so nice. in this nice condition, it will be so easy to forget you, my Lord. But in the calamities, I had no other way to survive except crying out your holy name and remembering you, taking shelter at your lotus feet. And in remembering you, I never have to see birth and death. So we may not be so pure that we could live by this principle at this time. However, this is what we should strive to achieve in our life. That our happiness is in remembering Krishna. If an earthquake comes right now, Haribo, and it can come anywhere. Most of the world is earthquake zones. Within seconds, everything we've built in our life is finished. You're building such a nice home with nice furnishings and so many nice objects. But one little earthquake, and what will be left? Your family, your friends, your home. Finished within seconds. However, in that situation, which is quite extreme, if we can somehow or other remember Krishna, we can be happy. As everything's falling down, we'll be smiling. Blissfully chanting the holy name. I remember a few years ago when there was that earthquake close by. Our whole temple was shaking. It was going like this. The doors were going. The windows were going. Things were falling. It happened just before 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was laying on the floor in the little room that Krishna has let me sleep on. And I heard all our children loudly chanting the holy names. And I was thinking, let this earthquake go on and on. One of our devotees lives high in a sky rise. And when the earthquake was shaking, his building was going. And how he was chanting, he said he never chanted such good round in his whole life. He was so attentive. So this is Queen Kunti's proposal. We may not like when things happen like this, but we like Krishna. We should not be attached to the good or the bad. We should be attached to Krishna. And somehow or other, in every situation, Krishna is there waiting for us. And actually, every situation is the perfect opportunity to remember Krishna. Even when they are making all noises upstairs. Because we are helpless. In fact, without the grace of God, what can we do? How will we survive? And the tendency is, when things are very nice, we forget that we are helpless. We fall under the illusion that I am the doer of my activities. That I am in control of my life. In the Western world, this is considered to be a very great achievement, when someone has control of their life. But actually, who can control their life? Can I say, no more passing stool or urine? I can say it. But it doesn't mean material nature will listen to me. I can say, no more disease. Everyone should be just like I want them to be. whoever we are.
Even, the biggest office in the world, the President of the United States. He doesn't have much control over his life. He achieved that position to become happy. But I would say that the street sweepers of Bombay are millions of times happier than him. So we could make all our arrangements, but somehow or other, the laws of nature, which are operating by the will of God, according to our own karmic situation, are controlling everything. So to admit, I am controlled, I am helpless. What is the meaning of Swami or Goswami? Goswami means the master of one's senses. And a great personality, we call them Prabhu, which means master. Master means controller. So how are these great personalities like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, how are they able to control their mind and control their senses so perfectly? Because they are helplessly taking shelter of Krishna. They are surrendering to Krishna's will, and by Krishna's power they are able to overcome all obstacles. The test of a person's character, in fact, is when there is crisis in one's life. Then we see who's really who. What is the substance of a person's dedication? When everything is going very nice, anyone can pretend to be a Mahatma. However, when there is great crisis, who runs away and who remains firm? Who cries and who smiles? Srila Prabhupada wrote a beautiful poem where he explained how so many things were going wrong in his life materially. He lost so much money and so many people turned away from him. And he said, it is all like bubbles bursting on the ocean of material illusion. And seeing all these crises happening, Prabhupada said, I am simply laughing, knowing it is all the mercy of Krishna. One who perseveres on the path of devotional service, even when there are so many reasons and so many hardships, that person has passed the test. And everyone must be tested. And the bigger we are, the bigger the test. You do not give a PhD exam to a child in KG. But when you get to the PhD level, Hare Krishna, then you get the appropriate test. So tests will always be there. Devotees are not afraid of the tests. They are afraid of forgetting Krishna. Because whether we are a new bhakta or whether we have been practicing bhakti for many, many lifetimes, the process of overcoming all the obstacles is the same. To be humble and realize I am helpless without the mercy of the Lord, and to somehow strive to be faithful to His will, to seek shelter of His devotees, to hear His glories, and very, very sincerely chant His holy names. So devotees, they are happy when they get chastised. How many of you are happy when you get chastised? Really? Pretty low. Of course, if someone were to chastise you, then we would have to ask you again. It's very difficult. It's like arrows in the heart. But Advaita Acharya, he's Acharya who is teaching how to be a real bhakta. There was a devotee named Kamalakanta Vishwas. He was the secretary for Advaita Acharya. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to get possession of a note that Kamalakanta Vishwas wrote to the king of Orissa, Maharaj Prataparudra. In this note, he said that Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has a debt of 300 rupees. Please liquidate his debt for him. As his secretary, he was trying to do service for Advaita Acharya by relieving him of the burden of this debt. Lord Chaitanya got this note. He became very angry. He told his servant, Govinda, do not ever allow Kamalakanta Vishwas to ever come to my home or stand before me. He is contradicting himself. First he is saying that Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he's saying that he has a debt of 300 rupees. If he's the Supreme God, he doesn't have any debts. He's the proprietor of everything. What does he need a king to give him 300 rupees? By thinking like this, he has caused a great offense to Advaita Acharya. Therefore, I will never see his face again. So, this news came to Kamalakanta Vishwas. And being a very soft-hearted devotee, his heart was broken. His whole life was only for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How much he displeased him? What kind of a punishment? We are all serving the Lord because we want to come before him and be pleasing to him. He has this punishment. He will never ever see me again. He's not permitted. So Kamalakanta was very much lamenting. But then Advaita Acharya, he heard about this, and he came before Kamalakanta and said, you are so fortunate. You are the luckiest man in the world. What good fortune. I have never got such a good fortune as you. I'm only wishing and praying I could have such a benediction. By the Lord's punishing you, he has accepted you as his servant. So intimately, so intensely he has accepted you as his servant. I've always wanted to be the Lord's servant. When the Lord was honoring me with so much respect due to my being the godbrother of his spiritual master, I was very unhappy. What is all this glorification and respect? When he punishes me, then, only then will I know that he has accepted me as his servant. So I went through such an extent. I tried every possible way for the Lord to punish me. But whatever I did, he tolerated it and offered me obeisances. Alas, I started preaching the Mayavad philosophy of Yoga Vashishta. And he was so angry that he beat me.
And
but beating me is a small thing. But look what he has done to you. He has banished you, that you'll never see him again. He has accepted you as a servant far better than he accepted me. And Mukunda Dutt, he was wandering around, associating with all different types of people on religious paths, even those who were materialistic or impersonalistic. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will not allow him to see me for 10 million births. When Mukunda heard this, he started dancing in ecstasy, that only 10 million births I will see the Lord. But he is telling you, never! You're getting more mercy. Even Sachimata the Lord punished. He told, when Srivas Thakur asked for the benediction, please give your mother Sachi love of God. Lord Chaitanya said, no, she cannot achieve love of God, because she has made an aparadha to Advaitacharya. She cannot have bhakti unless she takes the dust of the feet of Advaitacharya. So the devotees went and told Advaitacharya that Sachimata, she will not get bhakti unless she touches your feet. Advaitacharya said, how can I put the dust of my feet on her? She is my worshipable mother. She is Yashoda. She is Devaki. She is my life and soul. And just thinking about her, he was in such ecstasy, he fell unconscious. So Sachi Devi took the opportunity, and with the permission of the Vaishnavas, as Advaitacharya was unconscious, she put the dust of his feet on her head. And then she fell unconscious. He was unconscious due to his appreciation for her glories, and she was unconscious due to the appreciation of his glories. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased, he said, now I give you Krishna Prema. But Kamala, come to Vishwas. Advaita was saying, you are the most fortunate. He is telling you, never, Harivo. Then Advaitacharya went before Lord Chaitanya. And he told Lord Chaitanya this, that why are you so merciful to him and not me? Why are you giving him such a position as your servant, and you've never given me this position? So Lord Chaitanya immediately called Kamalakanta Vishwas. And he gave him his special mercy and said, you should never discredit Advaitacharya in this way. So this is a very wonderful example of how a devotee, even in the most difficult situation, understands that there is some purpose behind it. Because not a blade of grass can even move without the sanction of the Lord. And a devotee, rather than complaining, this is our tendency due to previous conditionings. When things do not go our way, we either complain, why is this happening to me? Or we have to blame someone or everyone for whatever problems we are facing. The husband blames his wife, the wife blames his husband, the children blames the parents blame the children, the disciples blame the guru blames the disciple, everybody's blaming. Amongst the brahmacharis, so much blaming going on. Everyone, that is our nature. However, we should know that these things will happen. They are happening by the inevitable will of the Supreme. So why spoil our spiritual life when an opportunity comes? Have we come to this movement? Have we achieved this rare human form of life because we want to be comfortable for some time and then die? You may be comfortable now, but somehow or other, if you go on living, in due course of time, old age will come. And you may get arthritis, or your knees and your fingers and your shoulders and your elbows and all your joints are just creaking and pain thriving. And you may be living in a beautiful house, you may be driving in a Mercedes-Benz, but you're suffering. Your children may have gotten married to a very wonderful spouse, and they may have gotten top grades in their college, but still, you're miserable. Nothing can help you. That is the nature of this world. What to speak of toothache? You could be in the middle of there can be a facilitation where millions of people are coming to honor you and glorify you, and then you get a toothache. Will anyone's words bring you happiness? You'll be asking, where is Muralidhar Prabhu? Where is Nitya Krishna Prabhu? I don't need your words. I don't need your gold trophies. I just want you to pull this tooth out. So that's the nature of this world. Miseries come upon any of us at any time. However, rather than blaming and complaining, if we deeply enter into the lotus feet of Krishna, cry out for his mercy, then we make great progress. That is the success of any activity, to the extent we remember Krishna and please Krishna by our heartfelt devotion. And a devotee of the Lord does not evaluate success or failure by any other means. How is Krishna pleased? How am I remembering him? How am I purifying my heart? By intensely chanting his holy name. Now, if this building started shaking, I would be safe to guess that you would be chanting 10 times as loud. And you would not be thinking of anything else except Krishna. So rather than waiting for that to happen, let us do it now. That is real happiness. We do not have to wait for the reversals in life to come. They will come. We should be prepared. In happiness or distress, we should always live in a way that Krishna is pleased. Very soon, Gaur Purnima is coming, the appearance day of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared in this world to give this Harinam Sankirtan to everyone and anyone, in every home, directly and through his servants. In this regard, there's a beautiful story, which you have heard many times. However, the benediction of this story, if you hear it attentively, is you will achieve true devotion to Krishna. So with your permission, when Lord Chaitanya was a little tiny child, living in the holy abode of Navadvip, his mother and father, Sri Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, they considered him their own beloved helpless child. The Lord covered them by his own yogamaya potency so that they could not understand his opulence as the absolute truth. But they could love him with a sweeter and more intimate feeling in Vatsalya Ras, or parental affection. Yoga Maya means that which covers us to bring us closer to the loving service of the Lord. Mahamaya is that which covers us to tear us away from the Lord. One day, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi were together with little Gaur Hari, and they asked Vishwambar, "Please bring me my book." So Vishwambar, little feet, he ran into the house. As he was in the house, Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra heard the sweet tinklings of celestial ankle bells. They were wondering, "Our child does not wear ankle bells. Where is this sound coming from?" They were bewildered. Then little Nimai, he came running out and gave his father his book and then ran off to play with his friends. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, they went into the house. They saw all over the house beautiful footprints with lotus flower, lightning rod, club, elephant goad, the symbols of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These footprints were here and there and everywhere. They began to weep. Sat Jagannath Mishra said, "It must be our Shalagram Shila. He must be having pastimes in our house by walking around. And he has left these footprints. Today is very auspicious. Let us reciprocate with this mercy the Damodar Shila has given us. Please prepare sweet rice made with ghee, paramana, and let us offer it. And tomorrow we will offer the Panchagavya to show our gratitude to Krishna in the form of his Shila for walking through our house." As they were offering this wonderful paramana and performing the Panchagavya, which means bathing the Lord with cow milk, cow yogurt, ghee, cow urine, and cow dung. The cow is so sacred and so pure, so dear to the Lord, that the Lord requests, "Bathe me with the urine, the dung, the milk, the ghee, and the yogurt of the cow." And yet, in this world, what are people doing to the cows? Rather than respecting and honoring them as mother, as the animal most dear to the Lord, they are exploiting and causing so much pain. So when Lord Chaitanya, who was then named Vishwambar, He saw his parents doing all this puja, glorifying the Dhammadharshila for making the footprints in their house. He simply smiled. One day, a mendicant Brahmin came to the house of Jagannath Mishra. This Brahmin was a very great devotee of Lord Krishna. He was constantly chanting a six-syllable mantra to glorify the Lord in his form of Bal Gopal. Those who worship Bal Gopal, Srila Prabhupada explains, are generally in the Vatsalya Ras, or aspiring to be so. He had around his neck a beautiful little deity of Bal Gopal and also a Shalagram Shila. These two murtis would go with him everywhere and anywhere. And he would not eat anything that was not first offered with love and devotion to Bal Gopal and Shalagram. Jagannath Mishra was so pleased to see his effulgence, his natural characteristics of devotion, welcomed him into his house, washed his feet, offered him a place to sit. He said, "Where is your residence?" The Brahmin replied, "I have no residence. Due to my restless mind, I am constantly traveling here and there." Jagannath Mishra, with folded palms, he said, "You travel here and there only to bring good fortune to the entire planet Earth. And how fortunate we are today that you have come to bless our home with your lotus feet. We are your servants. Please allow us to make arrangements for you to cook prasad." In those days, such Brahmins would generally cook for themselves, and the householders would arrange all the facilities. So the Brahmin replied, "If it satisfies you." So immediately the residents of the house cleaned the kitchen, brought all kinds of nice bhoga, the best they could possibly get. And the Brahmin cooked. After cooking nice rice and other such preparations, he set up his little altar with his deities. He placed the bhoga in front of them and began to meditate on the Lord's coming to eat the bhoga while chanting his mantra. At that very moment, little Gaurhari ran up, picked up a handful of rice, and put it in his mouth. When the Brahmin saw this, he cried out in great dismay, "Hi, hi!" Which means, "Alas, alas!" Everyone came, and he was sitting there. He said, "This child has ruined the offering. It cannot be accepted by Lord Gopal." Jagannath Mishra, who was so intent on serving his guest, became very angry. He went to punish little Nimai, and Nimai ran away. Jagannath Mishra was running after him. The people of the house said, "Please stop, please stop." And the Brahmin, he caught hold of Jagannath and said, "This is only a child. He doesn't know what is good and what is bad. Please do not punish him. What will punishing him do?" "Actually, Krishna doesn't want me to eat today. One does not get food by his own endeavor or by the efforts of others. It can only come by the grace of the Lord." Back in the 1920s in the United States, very wealthy country, there was a depression where people who were multi-millionaires, the next day they could not even afford one chickpea, not even a grain of rice. They were on the street looking for a potato to eat. It is not by our efforts, it is ultimately by the will of God that we receive anything. Lord Chaitanya was named Vishwambhar because he is nourishing the entire universe. So the Brahmin was explaining in this way. And Jagannath Mishra, he was so depressed because he wanted so much to satisfy this devotee and the devotee was not pleased. What is the quality of Jagannath Mishra? Such a Vaishnava. Just an unknown stranger guest to his house. He was so attentive to make sure he was fully served to his full satisfaction. He was finding no happiness in his life because he was not able to properly serve this Vaishnava. So he sat with his hands in his, with his head in his hands. And meanwhile, the people of the house were saying, "Please, cook again, cook again. We will arrange everything." And Jagannath Mishra said, "Yes, yes, cook again. Please, please. You cannot leave unless you have full meal." He said, "Just get me some fruits and roots. I'm accustomed to living in the forest, eating fruits and roots. If that's what Krishna wants me to eat, I'm happy with that. I don't need anything else." But they insisted. So he said, "If it satisfies you, I will cook again." And everyone was, "Haribo!" Very happy. They cleaned up the place. They brought new bhoga. And Jagannath Mishra said, "Keep Nimai away." So Sachi Devi took Nimai out of the house, brought him to a neighbor's house, and told all the ladies, "You watch him, you keep him here, do not allow him to disturb this Brahmin's offering." So he was playing and laughing and joking and dancing with all these ladies, little Nimai. And they were joking with him. They said, "Nimai, why did you steal that Brahmin's food?" And Nimai smiled and said, "He called me and I came. He offered it to me and I ate it. I am not at fault." They said, "But you don't even know who that Brahmin is, what his caste is, where he's coming from, what he's done. You have lost your own caste by eating a stranger's food." And Nimai said, in reply, he said, "I am a cowherd boy, Gopa. I always eat the food of Brahmins when they offer it to me. How could a Gopa not... What is the harm if a cowherd boy accepts the food from the hands of a Brahmin?" He was speaking the truth of his true identity. But within the heart of these ladies, he would not allow them to understand the real content of what he was saying. So he was laughing and joking in such a way with these ladies, they became so intoxicated with love of God that they didn't even realize that he escaped. The Brahmin finished his offering and sat down, chanting his Gopal mantra. And just when the offering was in its summit, little Nimai ran up and picked up a handful of rice and put it in his lotus-like mouth. And the Brahmin saw this. "Hi, hi! Again, he has spoiled my offering!" When the residents of the house heard this, they were shocked. Jagannath Mishra picked up a stick. He was more angry than ever before. He ran at Nimai, and little Nimai ran away. How nicely he ran away. He ran into a room and closed the door on Jagannath Mishra. "Get, come out of that room, I will beat you!" And the people of the house were saying, "No, don't beat him, he's only a little boy. Please don't beat him, what will he learn? Children do not learn things by getting beaten." He doesn't know what is good and what is bad. And the Brahmin said, you are an Aryan. You cannot beat little children like this. It is not right. It is my destiny. It is not the child's fault. It is my fault. Krishna has not arranged within my destiny to eat rice today. This is Vaishnav. Vaishnav does not blame the environment. Vaishnav sees everything is coming by the mercy of the Lord according to what we need in our life. So Jagannath Mishra said, please cook again. He said, no, I've already cooked twice. It's late at night. Just give me some fruits and roots. So Jagannath Mishra sat there with his head in his hands in utter lamentation. Then the brother of Nimai, Vishwaroop, entered into the room. When this Brahmin saw Vishwaroop, whose every limb was the very personification of spiritual beauty, whose very countenance was filled with the essence of humility and devotion, whose mouth contained no other vibration than the very conclusions of all the scriptures. He gazed upon Vishwaroop. All he could say is, who is the parents of this child? And the people say, he is the son of Jagannath, Mishra, and Sachimata. What fortunate parents, he said. Vishwaroop then offered his prostrated obeisances. Vishwaroop was none other than Lord Balaram's own expansion. He was the self-same personality as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Yet he bowed down before this Brahmin and spoke with such sweet, humble devotion that it melted everyone's hearts. When he spoke with this humility, whatever came out of his mouth was like streams of nectar. Today, our home is so fortunate because a great personality like you has come. On this day, I can understand everything is all auspicious. You only visit the homes of fallen souls to uplift them and remind them of the goal of life, devotion to Krishna. And yet, we are so unfortunate because you have come to our home, but you are fasting. I am simultaneously so happy to see you, but so sad that we are causing you to have to fast. The Brahmin said, actually, it is all by the sweet will of Krishna. Our destiny is already arranged. We should not be in sorrow when we do not get what we expect. We should be content with whatever Krishna provides. On this day, Krishna is providing, perhaps, fruits and roots. Just bring me some fruits and roots. I'll be happy. Krishna will not allow me to eat cooked rice today. Vishwaroop replied that the nature of such great souls like you are like an ocean of compassion for others. And please look at my father's condition, how he is suffering because you are not having proper prasad. Great souls are paradukaduki. Their only misery is to see the miseries of others. Please relieve my father of his misery, and we will all be very happy. The Brahmin said, but it's already the middle of the night. It's too late to cook. Vishwaroop fell at the Brahmin's feet, clasping onto his feet, begging him, cook, it's not so late. So the Brahman replied, "If this is what satisfies you, then I will cook again." And everyone in the house was very happy. Hari Bol! So the people said, "We should lock Nimai in the room." Jagannath Mishra said, "Yes, lock him in the room." They took him in a room. First they locked the doors from the outside, then they tied the doors from the inside. And Jagannath Mishra, despite all these precautions, he sat out right at the doorway, guarding it. The Brahman cooked. Lord Chaitanya, who was in his form of little Nimai Pandit, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakaranakaranam. He is the controller of everyone and everything. He called his servant Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep. She came into the house, and with the edge of her sari, she touched everyone, and immediately they fell into fast sleep. Before that, they told Jagannath Mishra that everything's safe because now little baby Nimai is sleeping. So they would think everything was all right because he was sleeping. But by his will, the very opposite happened. They all fell asleep. So this mendicant, he set up his altar again. He placed the bhoga on the altar and began to chant his Gopal mantra, meditating on the Lord to come and accept his offering. One thing to interject, one important point, is just see how this Brahman would not touch anything unless it was properly offered to the Lord. This was why he was so dear to the Lord. Sometimes we think, according to time and circumstance, we have to be practical. We can't be fanatics. Let me eat and eat now. I can't wait. But this Brahman would not touch anything unless it was properly offered to the Supreme Lord. This is how we should live. We should be very, very careful that we don't eat to enjoy. We eat so that our body will be fit to serve the Lord, to please the Lord. But if in the process of eating we're not pleasing the Lord, then we're defeating the whole purpose of eating. Anymore. Therefore, a devotee is very much concerned that whatever we do it in such a way that we elevate our consciousness, we do not degrade our consciousness. Therefore, devotees control their senses by taking prasad. Bhaktivinod said, of all the senses, the tongue is very difficult to control. And if you can control the tongue, automatically the other senses will somehow come under control. And the tongue has two primary functions: to taste and to vibrate. So what is the control? We taste by only eating that sanctified prasad that is offered to the Lord. We do not eat abominable foods or mundane foods. We only take the Lord's mercy. And we do not speak materialistic, egoistic topics. but we speak that which is positively beneficial for the service of the Lord. We speak His glories, and we chant His holy names. In Navadvip Dham, in the house of Vishvambar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everyone was sleeping. In the silence of the night, this Brahmin meditated on Gopal to come to accept his offering. He opened his eyes. Lo and behold, there was the beautiful little golden form of Gaur Hari with his hand eating the rice. Hi, hi! But everyone was sleeping. Hi, hi! Nobody could hear him. The Brahmin looked at little Gaur Hari and Nimai smiled. He said, "Why are you disturbed? You have called me to accept your offerings, and I have come." As he looked at him, the Lord performed a wonderful pastime. He manifested before this Brahmin's eyes an extraordinary eight-armed form. Four of his arms were holding the conch shell, the club, the chakra, and the lotus flower. One of his hands was holding a pot of butter. The other hand was eating the butter. And two hands were playing his flute. This beautiful form of the Lord was decorated just like Krishna in Vrindavan. He had a beautiful bluish complexion. In his beautiful hair, it was decorated with the seeds of the gunja flower. And the peacock feather. There was beautiful necklaces, and in the center of all of them was Kaustubhamani. His toenails, each one of them, was effulgent like thousands of suns. His ankles were decorated with bejeweled ankle bells. The Vajayanti Mala was over his beautiful shoulders. When the Brahmin saw this, he was struck with wonder. And then he saw around the Lord was the abode of Vrindavan. There were kadamba trees. There was the river Jamuna. There was cows, gopas, gopis. There were birds chirping, singing beautiful songs in the praise of the Lord. The Brahmin fell unconscious in ecstasy. Then Lord Chaitanya touched him with his hand and brought him back to consciousness. The Brahmin was weeping. Rivers of tears were flowing from his eyes. His hairs were standing on end. His limbs were trembling. He would go unconscious and come to consciousness. He fell at the feet of the Lord, crying out his glories. Lord Chaitanya told him that you are my servant for a long, long time. Many births you have been my servant. In fact, when I incarnated as Lord Krishna, living in the house of Nanda Maharaj, you came as a Brahmin Magnik into that time, into the house, and I showed you this very same form. I always fulfill the desires of my pure-hearted devotees. In this incarnation, I have come to spread the glories of the holy name of the Lord. I have come to establish the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And those who chant the holy names, they will achieve love of God. That same object, pure love of Krishna, that even Brahma, Shiva, and the other demigods long to achieve. I have come to give Krishna prema to the whole world. In every house, in every town, in every village. But you should not tell anyone what you have seen. For if you do, you will die. As long as I am manifest in this world, you should not speak this truth. And then Nimai ran back into his bedroom and went to sleep. The Brahmin, he was so ecstatic. He started eating the rice. He was eating the rice with such happiness. So much happiness that he couldn't get enough in his mouth. He was rubbing it all over his body. And he was crying out, "Hi, hi!" He was crying out the glories of the Lord. He was crying so loud that he woke everyone up and they came running to see. And when they saw him, he immediately washed himself and sat down eating nicely. And everyone was thinking, "Oh, very nice. He has had nice prasad." They were very satisfied. In the heart of this Brahmin, he was thinking, "I have to tell them. The Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, is living in their house and they do not even know it. If they just understand this, they will be delivered. But I can't tell them because he has ordered me not to tell." The last instruction the Lord gave him before running back into the room to go to sleep was, "You should stay here in Navadvip, and you should come to my home every day as a beggar, and you will see my wonderful pastimes." After that, that Brahmin remained in Navadvip, and he would go home to home, but each day at a certain time he would come to Jagannath Mishra's house to see the beautiful pastimes of Lord Gaurahari. The Lord always fulfills the heart's desire of his devotees. But how he fulfills the desires of the devotees is not always according to what we expect. Our desire ultimately is for pure devotion. And how Krishna fulfills that devotion? Sometimes he fulfills our external desires, and sometimes he totally frustrates them. How many of you have this experience of being frustrated? You can say, to the degree you have been frustrated, loudly chant Hari Bol. Quite convincing. And quite honest. Frustrations come. How this Brahmin was frustrated. What did he do wrong? He was making the offering according to all the regulative principles with pure unalloyed devotion, and yet time and again the offering was spoiled. At least it appeared to be to his eyes. He had to stay up late at night cooking. It was a frustrating experience. But he was not frustrated. Why? Because he understood there is some secret purpose behind it all. It is all by the will of Krishna. It is not this child's fault. It is not anyone's fault. Somehow or other, this is the will of Krishna. And because he had that consciousness, tatenukambam sushamikshamano, what was the result? The beautiful darshan of Krishna. Similarly, through good and evil, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, health, disease, pleasure, pain, life, death, whatever may come in our life, if we always remain like this Brahman, peaceful, taking shelter of the knowledge that Krishna, whatever he does, is for the ultimate good of his devotee, then Krishna will also reveal himself to us. Krishna's here. Krishna's everywhere. But we do not have the eyes to see him. Primanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. When Krishna just opens our spiritual eyes, then we can see him again. We are seeing through these material eyes. They cannot see God. Krishna and Srimati Radharani are standing before us right now in this temple room. Why are we not in ecstasy? We're seeing them. But until they open the divinity within our eyes, we cannot actually appreciate what we're seeing. Gopinath is playing his flute. How many of us hear it? Until he opens up our ears, we cannot hear. And that happens in proportion to our humility and devotion. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan jasasmi tatvata. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada so kindly has given us the association of devotees, this transcendental knowledge. He's given us the pure, unadulterated mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains one nice thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told this Brahman that I have incarnated to spread the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement and give love and God to people all over the world. But Lord Chaitanya personally never left India. But through his devotees, especially through his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he is giving his mercy to the whole world. And people from all around, just recently we were in Mayapur, people from every continent of the world were coming together chanting Harinam. And right in our little simple broken down temple of Chopati Bombay, today we have people from Moscow, from Ukraine, from Italy, from America, from India. And what to speak of India? There are people of all castes, all ethnic groups. There are people here from the Himalayas, from Tamil Nadu and Gujarat and Punjab and Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Bengalis, Orissans, from Kerala, from Karnataka, even from Maharashtra. People who are very, very wealthy, people who are very, very poor. There are grandfathers, great-grandfathers and grandmothers, grandchildren, children, great-grandchildren, all ages, all colors, all religious
people who were Christians, people who were Jews, people who were Hindus, people who were Muslims. Everyone's here together by Prabhupada's causeless mercy to pursue the ultimate goal of life, of chanting the holy name. This is a great miracle. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.